Welcome everyone to session two of the Instructional Framework Development Institute. I'm Justin Bader from the Principal Center, and in this program, it is our goal to guide you through the process of guiding teacher leaders in developing one or more team instructional frameworks that give you specific shared expectations that you can use to provide feedback on specific instructional practices, not that are necessarily used school-wide or organization-wide, but in specific subjects at specific grade levels so that the feedback you're providing can really zoom in on the practices that teachers are using, not from an outsider's perspective, not from a perspective that's distorted by observability bias and that's convenient for us, but that really reflects the insider's view of practice. One of our big emphases in the Institute is gaining that firsthand kind of insider's view of practice so that the feedback we're giving teachers on what they're doing really gets at the heart of what they're striving for, of their instructional purpose and the actual decisions they're making behind the scenes, even if that's a little bit harder for us to see. So this is all about going deep with practice and giving ourselves the opportunity as leaders to have an impact on those aspects of teacher practice that are a little bit harder to get at. And we do that primarily by developing a team instructional framework. So the shared work of developing a rubric for a specific practice in a specific subject is what's going to give us that opportunity to impact teacher thinking, first by deeply understanding the nature of the intellectual work that teachers are doing in that particular area. And once you have worked with the teacher to draft that rubric, that set of expectations, you know, this is what this practice really looks like, this is what different levels of performance look like, we can actually turn that into an observation template. Not a scoring sheet, but a guide to what to look for and what to take notes on when you are in the classroom. So we will do that at least once in the Institute. Our goal is not to do a million of these. It's not to get everyone in the school to do one. It's to start strong with one person, with one team, and probably just one person on that team. But as you'll see in today's action steps, we can start to loop in other people carefully. We have to be careful about how we grow this work because starting with the right people is crucial. But I also wanted to give a little bit of a vision further into the future for this work, because even though we're starting small, this adds up over time. There is a grand vision here. So I would like you to imagine for a moment that you have instructional frameworks, you have shared expectations in the form of rubrics for every major practice that teachers are using. Now, it might take a while to get there, but I'd like you to imagine for a second that when you go into a classroom, you can tell exactly what's going on. You recognize the practice teachers are using. It's a shared practice. It's a shared practice teams regularly talk about. It's a practice that they have developed a rubric for, and it's a practice that there's a degree of alignment and quality on because of that shared work, that collaborative work in developing those shared expectations. And because you have had a seat at that table, you've been involved in that work, you know exactly what teachers are attempting to accomplish when they use that practice. And as a result, your feedback is able to be incredibly specific and incredibly helpful to teachers in moving them along that rubric. And yet, even though you're involved in that process, it's a process that teachers take a deep level of ownership on. You know, it's not something that you're imposing on teachers. It's something that they truly own. So they appreciate the feedback. They appreciate the support that you give them in moving forward on that rubric. So that might take a while. Again, it might be a few years down the road before we can fully achieve that vision. But that, I think, is where we want to ultimately end up, where we have teacher leaders invested in building those frameworks, guiding their teams through building those frameworks. And then when we get into classrooms and observe teachers using certain practices, we're not just observing generically. We're not giving generic feedback saying, oh, you know, student engagement, blah, blah, blah. We're looking at what student engagement would look like in that particular practice. You know, if we have science teachers doing a science lab, if we have social studies teachers doing a simulation, if we have students working on essays and revising with peer feedback, whatever it is, it's not just generic instruction. There are specific aims, there are specific techniques and strategies at work. And I think we will get much better as a profession if we can get more specific about what those are. So that is what we are doing in the Instructional Framework Development Institute. And this is session two. And last week we talked about choosing just one person to start with, picking someone who has a good relationship with you, right? They're not gonna fight back. They're not gonna be resistant to the idea. They're gonna be on board with this because of the relationship that you have. They're going to be someone who is not defensive about their practice, not fragile in their identity, but really is a confident person, a reflective practitioner, someone who is humble and able to reflect and grow and try new things. And yet someone who is not so much that way that they've already said yes to everything else that needs to happen. You know, you want someone who's not overwhelmed with different things that they've said yes to. So they need some available bandwidth. And you want them to be someone who is not just passionate about their subject, but actually is fairly strong in their pedagogy. You know, they're not just a content expert. They are a content-specific pedagogy expert, and they are not afraid to share with you how they are teaching their preferred subject. So picking the right person is a big part of setting ourselves up for success here. The second part of the decision that we have to make is what practice to focus on. And this is, we pick the person first for a reason, right? This is why we want to have the right person. We want to choose a focus with that right person. So whoever you've identified to go first, to be your thought partner in this work, you want to go to that person and say, you know, what practice would you like to work with me on developing some shared expectations around? And it should be something that meets these three criteria. First, high frequency. It's something that happens regularly, maybe every day or at least a couple times a week. It should be something that is high impact, that makes a major difference for learning. You know, we're not talking about a procedure that's 5% more efficient for passing back papers after they've been graded. Like something that's really at the heart of teaching that subject, really at the heart of student learning. And third, it should be something that is considerable in the level of skill that it requires, right? It should be high variability so that if it's done well, it has a great impact on learning. If it's not done well, if it's done clumsily, or if the teacher really doesn't get the ins and outs of that practice, it can go very poorly and just not work out well. So those three characteristics are what we're looking for here for this to all be worthwhile. And in session one, Heather talked about learning from the experience of choosing a practice that didn't have very high variability. And teachers said, you know, why do you want me? There was a lot of resistance from the teacher. Like, why do you want me to develop a rubric for this? I really do it the same way every time. It's kind of a done deal. And she realized through that experience and that conversation with the teacher that the criterion of variability was not met there. So really all three of these matter. All three of these work together in concert, and it's critical to make sure that you're focusing on something that teachers care about, because we really need their effort and investment in this. It's not going to be huge and complicated. We really want to keep this lightweight and be able to move quickly and see the benefits quickly so that we can build the momentum that we need to ultimately move toward that longer term vision. So one of the things that you will want to do this week in the process is have a conversation with that teacher that you have identified and initially reached out to get their agreement. And you want to have a follow-up conversation and say something along these lines. And if you're just listening to the audio, you'll see the full script for this. The sample script is in the slides and on the video. As I mentioned, I'd like to have a more specific sense of what to look for when I'm observing certain practices in different subjects and grades. And if you're open to working with me, I'd like to start figuring out what we might focus on. It should be a practice that you use frequently, that has a major impact on student learning, and requires a considerable level of skill to use well. Is there a practice you have in mind that I could come see, and when would be a good time? So you don't have to send that as an email. You know, have this as a casual face-to-face conversation, but get the teacher thinking about what they would like to work on with you. What specific practice they use frequently that has a high impact on instruction, that on student learning, and that requires a considerable level of skill. Get their input and figure out when they do that so that you can come see it. And then your next step is to go see it. Show up at a time that they tell you they're going to be using that practice. Stay for long enough to see it. And again, this is not the point at which you want to start giving feedback. This is just the kind of getting a sense of what the practice looks like. So stop by, observe that teacher, and of course, most importantly, talk with the teacher afterward. As we always teach in the high performance instructional leadership model, you know, talking with the teacher is where you really gain insight into the invisible thinking and decision making and the behind the scenes work that the teacher did to make that practice successful in the moment. So get a sense of what that looks like in that one teacher's classroom, and then find another teacher who uses that same practice and arrange a time to come see that practice in their classroom. Now, this is a person, the second teacher, is a person who has not agreed to work with you yet, right? You have not clued them in to what you're really up to. So it's incredibly important that you give them a sense of safety around this. So you're not going to just compare the second teacher to the first teacher and then try to bring that second teacher up to that same level. You don't have a rubric yet, right? We're just initially looking at this. But I think it's important to see two different teachers to see the range that's present on that team. And you know, you might choose two pretty strong teachers, but you're still going to see quite a bit of variability in how that practice is used if the team has not already done a ton of work to align their practices. You know, people who are close neighbors and talk frequently, you know, even if they plan together every day, often the way they're using so-called common practices is very different. And I want you to see that as early in the process as possible. Now, if you go to a second teacher on that team or in that department and say, hey, when can I come by and see you introducing a science lab? Or when can I see you guiding your students through doing a social studies simulation, historical simulation? And they say, well, I don't know, we might not do that for a couple of weeks. Well, if it's not something that's used almost every day, if it's not a practice that's used multiple times a week, then you might want to choose a practice that is. So if you can see it in one teacher's classroom, you know, the teacher that's working with you, great, but you also need to be able to see it in other teachers' classrooms so that there is something to work with, right? There are existing expectations that can be aligned. What you don't want to do is have just one teacher who's doing something and then you try to get everyone else to start doing that thing from scratch when they've never done that before. Now, you know, if that's where you are, that could be a good opportunity to use shared instructional frameworks. But for the purposes of the Institute, like I want you to go through this process once with a practice that is already in use that you need to create more alignment around. Because I think for our goals in this program and the learning that you do by going through this process, it's important to start with something that teachers are already doing. So let me know if you have any questions about that process. I wanted to make a few comments about visibility and Zoom, because it is very likely that the practice that teachers will choose, the teacher that you are working closely with, will choose a practice that's a little bit hard for you to observe. And it may be that the practice can be used in a narrow window of time. We're probably not talking about something that's super long-term. If we're talking about an instructional practice, it's probably something that happens within one class period and can be observed fairly quickly. But there may be aspects of that practice that are very, very hard to really get a sense of from the insider's view, right? Like you might see what the teacher is saying and doing. You might hear the questions that they're asking, but to really get a sense of the thinking that's going into those questions and the thinking that the teacher is doing in response to what he or she gets from students as a response, that's the part of the iceberg of teacher practice that is hidden beneath the surface. And it's going to be critical to talk with the teacher to get a sense of what's really going on behind the scenes there. Because when we see a practice in use in two different classrooms, the above the surface things may look fairly similar. Like it may be a fairly scripted process. If we are talking about warm-ups in math, you know, two different classrooms using warm-up problems. You know, when students walk in the room, there's a problem on the screen and they work on it silently while you take attendance and things like that. You know, that may look fairly similar in two classrooms. But when we get into the insider's view of practice and we talk with the teacher about what they're really doing there, what intellectual work they're really doing, we might find that that's where the variability is. The surface level may look very similar between the two classrooms, but the deeper cognitive work that teachers are doing may look very different. And we've got to get into conversation with the teacher to get a sense of what's really going on there and what the key dimensions of that practice are, so that as we work toward developing a rubric, we're not shifting that rubric too far above the surface. Like we're really staying in the depths that we need to focus on in order to create alignment across classrooms, right? So if we have teachers who are on the surface using the same practice, but you know, the thinking that they're doing behind the scenes as they use that practice, if that's where the variability is, that's what we've got to tap into to develop our team instructional framework, to develop our rubric that can move everyone's practice forward and get everyone on the same page. Does that make sense? Let me know what you think about that. And let me know if you're joining us live, let me know what practice you're thinking you might be focused on. Again, I want to encourage you not to choose that on your own. You know, choose that in consultation with the teacher who is actually using that practice, because we don't want to start with just our own ideas here. We want to start with something that our strong teacher that we're working with is already doing and wants to create alignment on. So here are your action steps for week two, and then we'll wrap up based on what questions people have. Your week two action steps. First of all, for that one person that you've been working with, finalize their commitment. Make sure they're okay to go ahead with this. If the first person didn't work out, pick someone else. Again, you want to pick a fairly strong teacher who is reflective on their practice and going to be willing to put in some work on this. You want to have that conversation about what to focus on. You want to share those criteria that it needs to be something that's high frequency, high impact, and high variability. And then you want to go and see that practice in two or more classrooms. So your next step after identifying the teacher and identifying the practice is to go see that practice in the classroom of the teacher that you're working with and another teacher. And if you can't, or if you do that and this just does not work out, you feel like, no, this is not the right focus, then we want to, as quickly as possible, shift gears and select a different practice to focus on for the remainder of the institute. Don't be discouraged if you have a couple of strikes in your first at-bat here. The first person may not work out. The first focus area, the practice that you choose to focus on with that teacher, that one may not work out either. That is okay. That is why we're starting small with this. It's not high stakes yet. This is just something that you are doing kind of confidentially with one teacher. You're not making some grand announcement to the staff at this point. You're just gaining some experience and some practice with this to get one thing working with one teacher and ultimately with their team, so that the shared expectations are having an impact before anyone else really hears about them. So that is your set of week two action steps. Finalize that commitment. Have the conversation about what practice to focus on. Observe that practice in two or more classrooms, and then decide if you need to shift gears. So that is it for today. I see several messages from people who are in the middle of this work, and we will talk offline about where possibly to pick up with that in your specific context. So happy to follow up over email. You should have several emails from me about the Instructional Framework Development Institute. You can reply to any of those or just email me at justin@principalcenter.com, and I will see you next week for session three of the Instructional Framework Development Institute. That's it for today for session two, and I will see you next time. Thanks so much.